Morning. God bless you and welcome to Calvary Chapel Palm Desert. We're so blessed that you could be here with us this Sunday morning. Just pray that the Lord has been blessing you and keeping you. Just see him doing so many miracles all around us. And us being able to gather together in this way at this time is one of them. So let's just give praise and thanks to the Father this morning for all of his goodness and all of his grace toward us. And may it continue in our lives. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
For thee all the power. green breath we could ever breathe, and we'll live for you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, the name above every other name. Ooh, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, and we live for you.
Good morning, everyone. Delighted to have you with us. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. Again, welcome to Calvary Chapel Palm Desert for our Sunday morning service, and we're delighted to have you with us. So let's open our hearts before the Lord, and then we'll open our Bibles. Father, thank you for this morning. What a blessing it is to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that the soil in our hearts would be rich. Lord, that it wouldn't be hard, that it wouldn't be with rocks, that it wouldn't be with weeds or tares, but it would be good, rich soil, Lord, to receive from your word, your teaching. Your word is seed. So I pray, Lord, that that seed would be deeply embedded within the rich soil of our hearts, Lord, that we would bear much fruit. So this morning, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to get right into God's word. If you were with us last week, we are continuing through the Gospel of Luke, the good news of Dr. Luke. And this morning, we're beginning chapter 8. And this is what the word of the Lord says in our first three verses. Now it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And so when we left off last week, Jesus had dinner at the house of one by the name of Simon, who was a Pharisee. And after Jesus had forgiven the sins of this immoral woman who had come in, who had forced her way into Simon's house, she began to wash his feet with her tears and anointing his feet with fragrant oil. Jesus continues his ministry now of preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God throughout every village and city, and the 12 apostles were with him. And so his ministry continues, and it amazes me as well. Here we are going through this pandemic in America and throughout the world, but guess what? The Lord's ministry is continuing today, this morning, I think like never before. We've been praying for revival in America. We've been praying, Lord, that that you would bring this nation back to being one nation under God, that you would make America godly again. And I think this is part of it, because the Word of God is now going out more than it has been in decades, maybe even more so in the history of mankind. My greatest heartache is not social distancing. Why? Because that's not Jesus Christ. He's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, even to the end of the age. My heart is broken over those who are going to be one day separated by Savior distancing or even spiritual distancing right now. How there are many people in our nation and throughout the world that are far from God. And this morning we're going to touch on that. We're going to share with you from God's Word on how you can have a personal relationship with Him. How He'll never leave you or forsake you, even to the end of the age. He can make you a child of God today at this very moment if you put your faith and trust in Him. And so here we see in our first section, as He was preaching glad tidings and good news. And that's what the word gospel means. It means good news. And even in times of bad news right now, all you can just turn on the news and the fake news, and a lot of it is nothing but bad news. But here this morning, again, as we open up God's Word, it's always good news. And for Jesus, it was going to everyone and every village and every city. We have no idea where the Word of God is going now. On Facebook and YouTube and all of the other avenues that God has opened up to get His word out. And so the King is preaching His kingdom. And that's why we're on here this morning. We want to preach the kingdom of God. He had come down from His kingdom to proclaim heaven to a fallen world. I can't imagine what that must have been like for Him, to leave heaven, that perfect environment, and come into a sinful, fallen world that wanted to put Him to death. Heaven is good news. I hope you know that. Many people treat heaven as bad news. Oh, when you know a believer goes to be with the Lord, it's, oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't have to be sorry. And when I die, when you see my name in bold print in the obituary section, please don't pray me back. Because heaven is a reward. It's not a punishment. And that's why we want to get out the good news. He came to make a way through His atoning death on the cross. That's what salvation is. Jesus Christ crucified for the remission of sins through His shed blood, that those who would believe in Him would inherit eternal life in heaven with Him one day. No more grief, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more separation from loved ones. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in our first section, in these first three verses, Luke specifically mentions certain women who were also disciples. And as I mentioned last week in our text, the term disciple means to be a student or a pupil of God's Word. They were excited to hear what Jesus was teaching. They followed Him. And as we see in the third verse here this morning, many of them provided for Him from their substance. He could have very well provided everything He needed, but He allows other people to be blessed. It is more of a blessing to give than to receive. And He was allowing these precious women to bless Him and to take care of His needs through their substance. And so here we see certain women who were disciples, and they were followers of Jesus Christ. In the first century, in Jewish culture, women were degraded. They were on the lower rung of society. They were treated worse than second-class citizens, with very few, if any, rights at all. But Jesus not only crossed those barriers, little pun there, cross, he crossed those barriers, but he tore them down. Jesus treated all, both men and women, with mutual respect. He loves mankind, for God so loved the world. That's men and women and children. And Jesus lifted women up from degradation and from servitude to the joy of fellowship and equality as well as respect to show them that God loved them too. Luke records more instances of Jesus' ministry to women. As a matter of fact, Dr. Luke records more instances of Jesus' ministry to women than any of the other Gospels. Luke tells us about the woman at the well. You remember that story? She was a Gentile. She had five husbands. She was living with her boyfriend. And she was going to the well for water. But Jesus said, when you take from this well, you're going to thirst again. But he said, I will give you water that will spring up from your innermost being, living water. And she said, give me that living water. And it was from that point on that he quenched her thirst through that living water. And she believed in him. Last week, we saw the widow of Nain. Jesus ministered to her. Her son was dead. They were taking him in a funeral procession to the graveyard. And Jesus spoke. And the young man sat up. Last week, also, we saw the immoral woman that came in, that worked her way through the crowd in Simon the Pharisee's house, and she went in and washed his feet with her tears and with fragrant oil. We also see in Luke's gospel, in a couple of weeks, a woman that was actually caught in the midst of adultery. And Jesus said to her, go and sin no more. She was saved. And there's Mary and Martha. Then there's a woman with the issue of blood, and many, many stories, how he even healed a Gentile woman's daughter. And as we know, it was the woman weeping who followed Jesus all the way to the cross. There was a group of women that followed him all the way to the cross. Where were the men? And even to this very day, in church circles, it just seems as though the women are more committed to the Lord in serving and in faithfulness. And we saw all of the disciples and even Peter who said, Lord, you can depend on me. I'll follow you all the way to the cross. And where was Peter, for Pete's sake, when Jesus was nailed to a tree? The women were there. The women stayed at the cross. Jesus also appeared to Mary Magdalene, it says here, of whom he cast out seven demons. She was the first one to witness his resurrection at the tomb, the empty tomb. The tomb was empty and her heart was now full. And so he appeared to her and other women also after the resurrection. And so verse 3 tells us that many others also followed Jesus. But prior to that, we see the names of three of them, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. Now Mary Magdalene, who came from the city of Magdala, that's why she's called Mary Magdalene, was the one of whom Jesus had cast out seven demons. Can you imagine what that must have been like for that precious woman to be possessed by seven demons? And it was then that she became a devout follower of Jesus Christ when he set her free. She followed Jesus' body to the grave. She was the first to learn of the resurrection. Yet nothing is known of her after that. Secondly, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Isn't that amazing? That a follower of Jesus Christ came out of Herod's household, Herod's kingdom. And she became a follower, a believer. She was a lady of the king's court because her husband was in charge of Herod's finances. And isn't it just like Jesus to bring these two ladies together? Opposite backgrounds. A demon-possessed woman, a woman of darkness, bringing her together as a sister in the Lord of a lady of the king's court, one steeped in darkness, the other of high society. And that's the body of Christ today. How God has brought not only women together, but men together and women and children out of some incredible backgrounds. Many, many, many in darkness, even those in high society. And she was one who had prepared spices, Joanna was, for the burial of Jesus. But the good news is she never had to use them because when she went to the tomb, he was not there. He had risen. The third one, Susanna, all we know about her, Susanna in verse 3, is that she provided for Jesus out of her substance. I mean, to me, that's sufficient. Just having your name in the Bible with Jesus. I'll take it a step further. How about having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven? That's what happens when you come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Here she is. She's got her name in Scripture for 2,000 years now. And what is she doing? She's serving. Jesus said, "Greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a servant of all." And there she is serving Jesus with all of her substance, ministering to him. How awesome is that? We can observe the true humble nature of Jesus as he allowed these women to serve him and to minister to him and provide substance for him. And again, he could have created anything he needed. He multiplied the fishes and the loaves and all. He was humble enough to allow others to be blessed. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, there's a quote in red letters from Jesus where he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And not only did he say that, but he allowed others to be blessed by ministering to him, by giving to him. And so here we see Jesus along with the 12 and also other women, certain women, and many others going through every city, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Now, verse 4 now tells us that a great multitude had now gathered, as he now speaks to them in a parable. Look at verses 4 to 8. "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So some of you may be wondering, what is a parable? I'm glad you asked. The term is parabole, and a parable is a physical example of a spiritual truth. Now, this parable that Jesus tells is found in 3 of the 4 Gospels. It's commonly known as the sower and the seed, or also the parable of the 4 soils. In Matthew and Mark's account, we're told that as Jesus sat by the sea, a great multitude was gathered there, and he had to get into a boat while the multitude of people stood on the land facing the sea. Him being God, him being omniscient and knowing everything, knew that the best way, the best acoustics that he could possibly have would be pushing off the shore and allowing his voice to carry across the water. If you've ever been out on water fishing or whatever, it's amazing how another fishing boat can be 100 yards away, and in talking in a normal voice, you can hear them in the other boat. And so Jesus uses his acoustics that he created. He created the sea. And so here he sits in a boat. He uses a boat for a pulpit. And the people stood on the land facing the sea. They were hungry. I wonder how many people today would go and stand in church to hear the word of God. How many people are that hungry today? And so here we see what is known as a parable or a parabole. Para means beside, and bole means to cast. And so it means to cast beside for the purpose of a teaching. It means a physical example of a spiritual truth. Word pictures, we call them. How many times as a kid growing up? I probably couldn't even number them. When my parents would say, "What do I got to do? Draw you a picture?" Well, that's what Jesus does. He draws them a picture. And also there's another man, I forget his name, Howard something, that that coined the phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words. Jesus knew that because he knows he's God. And so here we see that Jesus speaks to them in a parabole, word pictures, spiritual truth with a physical example. And Jesus spoke quite often in parables, especially next week. Again, we're going to see another parabole, another parable. And so in doing so, he uses comparisons of things that were familiar to the people, using everyday objects to help understand his spiritual truths. And that's important also, isn't it? That people could relate to what he's talking about. And this also increases one's retention level. If we have a word picture, if we can picture something in our minds, it helps us to retain what is being taught or what is being said. And so, as we all know, Israel is an agrarian society. There's a lot of agriculture there. As a matter of fact, in the world, they are third in the world in agriculture. That's amazing for that little tiny nation. And Jesus uses farming to teach those who had ears to hear, he says. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And one of the most important lessons in Scripture is that of bearing fruit. And so that's why he wants them to have ears to hear, and he wants them to bear fruit. This morning, wherever you are, he wants you to have ears to hear. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus wants you to bear fruit. We're going to talk about that a little later on in the message, in the parable, on what it means to bear fruit. And now in verses 3 to 8, Jesus speaks of a farmer. He speaks of seed. He speaks of four types of soil that were very much familiar to farmers. And if you've done any gardening, I'm sure you're very much familiar with the four types of soil that Jesus speaks of here. Verse 5 tells us the sower, or the farmer, went out to sow. The term sow means to scatter seed. And in those days, they bore a satchel over their shoulder, a big satchel filled with seed. So much that it was probably even spilling out as they walked. And they would keep it over their shoulder. And what they would do is they would reach into their satchel and they would get handfuls of seed and they would scatter it along the way. In tossing it by hand, as he walked through the field, his goal was to get as much seed as possible to take root in the good soil. As we see in those days, waste was inevitable. Where it fell, there were birds. Where it was blown by the wind, often into less productive areas, and there would be no yield, there would be no crop. Yet this was not the fault of the faithful farmer. It was not the fault of the seed. It was all dependent upon the soil where the seed fell. And so that's where the title for the message comes from here this morning, the parable of the sower and the seed. So we're going to look at the first soil here in verse 5. And this is what Jesus says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. So the first soil that we find is called the wayside. It was hard soil. Why? Because it was normally a footpath, and more than likely that's what the sower was walking upon, was the footpath down through the middle of the field. And this path was hard because it was trampled underfoot. And then the seed would just land on the hard ground. It would not penetrate. And the birds would come along and devour it because the seed could not penetrate the soil. And so this was easy pickings, no pun intended for the birds. Soil number 2, verse 6. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. So now the second soil that he talks about is that which is rock. And on top of the rock, there was a thin layer of soil. The soil had a thin covering over a stony shelf, and there was no moisture, it says. But yet the warmth of the rocks caused the seed to quickly sprout up. It's like an incubating effect. And it would sprout up quickly, but it would have no roots because of the rocks, and it would wither away. Soil number 3 in verse 7. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Soil number three is that of the tares or the weeds. Some fell among the thorns, it says. And again, remember this, that Jesus' audience knew exactly what he was talking about, being in that agrarian culture. And some of the seed that the sower broadcasts fell among the thorns. And how often? We don't even know this, or don't we even know this, excuse me, don't we even know this? So often, when we go out to plant something, the weeds grow faster than the seeds. Sometimes better. I've had, back east, we used to plant gardens out in the back. We had a big piece of property. It was amazing when I planted some, how healthy my weeds were. And I'm not talking cannabis. How healthy the thorns and the thistles were in comparison to what I had planted. And the weeds just tended to grow stronger and overtake and choke out the sprouts. Soil number four, verse 8. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he, Jesus, had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so the fourth soil, we finally get to the good one. The good ground, the good soil. Fertile. No hardness. No rocks. No weeds. And the seed sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. Just an abundance. And when Jesus had said these things in verse 8, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Why would he say that? For you have multitudes standing on the shoreline. They came to hear him teach, and wouldn't you think that they could hear with their ears? Now, why would he make such a statement? I'm sure they could all hear, for the most part. Maybe there were some deaf people, people were bringing to Jesus to heal their hearing. But let me explain, and this is important. Humans hear many sounds physically, don't we? But there is yet a deeper way of listening that results in spiritual understanding. There's a difference between physical hearing and spiritual hearing. And Jesus is saying, "He who has spiritual ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Jesus is not hiding the truth from those who were sincerely seeking scripture truth. Yet there were two types of listeners in this group. Just like there are two types of listeners where this broadcast is going, and there's two types of listeners in every church, there's two types of listeners wherever God's word goes out. There are those that hear what the Spirit is saying, and there are others who are spiritually deaf. Those who understand the illustration spiritually are those that Jesus is referring to here. Secondly, those who just thought this was just a lesson in agriculture, they were thinking physically. And to this day, like I said, there are just two types of hearers, even in the church. And so what is this to you, I wonder, today? Is this a spiritual sermon or is this a physical sermon in agriculture? My prayer, my heart, God's heart, is that this would be a spiritual lesson you. You see, 38 years ago, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, they gave me a little Bible, a little New Testament, and I went home and I got on the couch and I sat there for hours because I was so hungry to read the Bible. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of course, in three of the four Gospels, I read the parable of the sower and the seed. And right there, every time I read that parable, I said, I think it was even out loud, "God, give me soil number four. That's what I want. I desire to hear from you, Lord, spiritually." And praise be to God, he knew the desire of my heart, and he's given me that ability today, as well as many of you who have asked for the ability to hear God speak spiritually. Hardly a sermon goes by where I don't open in prayer with, as I did today, "Lord, may we have good soil in our hearts. Get out the hardness, get out the rocks, get out the weeds. And Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today." It is so important to understand that it's not a light thing to hear the Bible, the Word of God, preached and taught. many people don't realize or recognize the awesomeness of this incredible book. These are the words of eternal life. My Bible tells me that God's word never returns void. It's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's God speaking to people. But yet, because he gave us a free will and a free won't, there are some people that will hear what he's saying spiritually and others that will just blow it off. I don't want to hear it. We've all heard that as Christians, where people say, hey, don't preach to me, I don't want to hear it. And when we hear the word of God, we need to make sure, we need to be careful to take heed and to receive it in good soil. And it's our choice. It's your heart, it's your soil, and it's up to you and I how receptive we are. You can't blame anybody but yourself. And if you're not bearing fruit in your life, there's got to be a reason. And the reason is because you need to get the rocks and the weeds and the hardness out of your heart and receive God's word as seed so that you can bear much fruit. What's that fruit, Pastor Joe? You're going to have to wait. We'll talk about that in a moment. And so the disciples now inquire as to the meaning of this parable, just to be sure. What does it mean, they ask? Look at verse 9. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest is given in parables, seeing that they may not see and hearing that they may not understand. You see, Jesus is speaking to his pupils, to his disciples, those who desire to hear from God. And he says, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if you've been given, or excuse me, if you've been a Christian any length of time, we just marvel at the mysteries that God has revealed to us, the incredible things that he teaches us, excuse me, through his word. And so it's important to recognize and to realize that it's up to us how much we receive. This is truly miraculous. Jesus says to you, to his disciples, to you who are Christians, to his followers, we're given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And isn't it amazing how much we have learned in our Christian lives over the years? I mean, you can be a baby Christian, just a matter of weeks or months or even a year or two, and have tremendous insight with the mysteries that God has revealed to you if you've been in a Bible-teaching church and if you read his word. He reveals many, many, many things to us spiritually. And so to you, he says, to his disciples, they're given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries of the kingdom are things that we would never know unless God revealed them to us. Why? Because sin separates us from God. There's the natural man, the unbelieving man and woman, and there's the spiritual man and woman. And the reason that we are able to hear is because we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. He's forgiven us for our sins. The wall has been torn down between us and God, and now we are able to understand spiritual things. What a miracle it is when we give our lives to Christ. What a miracle it is when we're born again. What a miracle it is that we're now disciples, we're now pupils, we're now students, and the Lord speaks to us things that the unsaved person cannot understand. I'm sure you've experienced that before, where you share something out of God's word that really excites you to an unbeliever, and it's like the deer in the headlights. They have no clue. Don't blame them, because they just cannot understand spiritual things. But when they come to know the Lord, the blindness is removed. The scales are removed, and then they can see what you see. Then they can understand spiritual things. But in the meantime, the unsaved person, and don't be too hard on them, because, but such were some of you, we were spiritually dead. The unsaved person, they cannot see, as Jesus quotes from the Old Testament there. They cannot see, they cannot understand. But yet believers now understand these spiritual truths because we're now spiritually alive. That's what it means to be born again, born a second time. We were born the first time physically, and when you give your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, then you are born spiritually, born a second time. That's what it means to be born again. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says this, that the unsaved person cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. Now, in verses 11 to 15, Jesus will now explain this parable to them. Notice what he says, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, very clearly in verse 11, this is the key. This is really, really, really important. In verse 11, Jesus clearly lets them know that the seed is the word of God. I repeat, the seed is the word of God. Why do I have to repeat that? Because there are many false teachers in pulpits today and on television that will tell you that the seed is money. The seed is not money. The seed is the word of God. Jesus says it right here, red letters. The seed being the word of God is repeated many times in the Bible to confirm it. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:6 tells us, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Peter said, we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So you tell me, is the seed of the word important? It lives and abides forever. Jesus says, my heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Wow. Charles Spurgeon says this. He was the prince of preachers in England. He said, the preacher of the gospel is the sower. Yep, that's my job description. I'm a farmer. The preacher of the gospel is the sower. He does not make the seed. Hallelujah. It is given to him by the divine master. And what a lesson that is. Paul tells Timothy, this young pastor, not many should teach because you shall receive a stricter judgment. We need to be very, very careful in handling the word of God. We don't want to be those who are accused of defamation of character. We don't take away from God's word. We don't add to God's word. Why? Because it's his word. And all he calls us to do as farmers is scatter the seed, as mailman to deliver the mail. And you know what? That's good enough for me. Because we get to stand when we open the word of God and share the Holy Scriptures with people. The Bible does not return void. It accomplishes God's purpose. It transforms lives. Why would you want to give people anything other than the word of God, the seed of the word of God? You don't need to be entertained. You don't need a light show. You don't need a disco ball. You don't need smoke. You need the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, especially in the time in America in which we live right now. You need to hear from God. You need to know God because so that you are not spiritually separated from him for all eternity. This is heavy stuff, folks. And so verse 12, this is what Jesus says. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's a heavy one. Notice one thing that all four examples have in common. Have you noticed? All four of them heard. All four heard. It says right here, the ones who heard. Verse 13, second soil, when they hear. 14, the ones that were among the thorns, when they had heard. And verse 15, good ground, they heard the word. And so notice, in all four instances with the soil, they heard. The difference in all four soils is the condition of the heart soil of the individual. What they do in their hearts when they hear the word of God. Soil number one. The hearer had a hard heart. You've seen it. When you walk down a path on dirt, how hard it is, nothing penetrates. And even when the rain comes, it makes it slick, and then the sun dries, it makes it even harder. Soil number one, the hearer had a hard heart. The seed could not penetrate the soil. And what happens? That person's heart becomes a human bird feeder. The seed just lays there. The bird comes along and steals it. Who's the bird? The devil. The devil snatches it away. And it has no effect on that person's heart whatsoever. That saddens me. And you know the amazing thing? All four of these soils can be churchgoers. All four of these soils can be church members. Because you have a church membership card, because you belong, because you tithe, because you do all of these great things for God, does not mean that you are a member of the family of God. You must be born again. You must have a heart with good soil in to receive the word of God. And here we see how sad. Soil number one, hard-hearted. Verse 13, soil number two, notice. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, notice they heard too, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. These are the emotional ones. These are ones that go to church to feel good about themselves, and they get all worked up, and they get excited. They get emotional. But guess what? No root. No root. They believe for a while. But when temptation comes along, it says, they fall away. The feel-good messages for me are the ones that convict me, the ones that get me to repent of my sins, the ones that draw me closer to the Lord, the ones that clean up my life and my act. But here we see the ones that don't get rooted and grounded in God's word, they fall away. So again, you tell me how important God's word is. Every cross T, every dotted I, every chapter, every verse of all 66 books. That's why we don't do topical studies here. We go through the Bible, Genesis 1:1 to the maps all the way in the back. When we get to the maps, we start all over again. The all important thing, folks, we need to get the word in our hearts. But here we see they did not get rooted, they grounded. Oh, they had emotional experience. They ran up and down the aisles and all that stuff. But you know what? The word of God needs to be continually watered. How does that happen? It happens through the living water and the power of the Holy Spirit. It happens through keeping our lives clean, attending church, having a spirit-filled life, the living water. Unless we fall away in times of temptation. And how many people come and they hear a message and they get all excited, but yet they go outside the doors of the church and boom, they fall away. Soil number three, verse 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Soil number three. Thorns. Then the thorns or the weeds come in and they choke out God's word. How sad. And what are the thorns and the weeds? Unspiritual things. Worldly things. Sinful things that will come in and choke out God's word. People come, they hear the word and they think, all right, I'm good. Then they go out and they sin. They fall prey to the sins of the world. And many think, oh, I lost my salvation. Maybe think, oh, it didn't work. Many think, you know, that church stuff doesn't work. The Bible doesn't work. And so because they're pulled away and they stumble and fall by the things of the world, the worries, the materialism, the pleasure, sexual immorality, they bear no fruit. And what happens then? They think, eh, it didn't work. No room for God in my life. The word is stifled, it's smothered, it's choked out by the things of the world. How sad. But isn't this amazing how Jesus gives us a physical example of a spiritual truth? Because all of us as believers can be subject to all four of these soils at one time or another. And in all three of the first soils, We see the recipients, but yet we see what happened because they didn't keep the soil soft and fertile, and because they didn't get the rocks out, and because they fell prey to temptation, because they didn't get the weeds out, the cares of the world and sinful lusts and all that choked out God's word. And so you know what happens many times? Many times the recipients of all three soils here play the blame game. Oh, it's that pastor, it's the church, it's the music. You know what? The list is endless. Because many people go to church for the wrong reason, for carnal reasons. Before we came to know the Lord, when our marriage was a wreck, Tina and I tried church. We didn't know what to look for. We didn't know that the all-important thing was the teaching of God's word. And we wonder why when we left, nothing ever changed. But people today, it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You know, I want this, I want that. This is too hot, this is too cold, this is just right. Too hard, too soft, just right. You know, the all-important thing is, like you see, the people are standing on the shore here. They weren't looking for comfortable pews. They weren't looking for cush chairs. They wanted to hear God's word. And they heard the word of God right through the lips of Jesus Christ. But the thing is, with these first three soils, God is not going to buy their excuses. The pastor, the church, the building, the music, whatever it might be. Why? Because God's word, if God's word is preached, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. When God's word is preached, it pierces the most hardest of hearts. Jeremiah says that God's word is like the hammer that breaks the rock. It's like a sledgehammer that can break the most hardened heart. So you can't blame the word. God's word is as Peter says, Lord, to whom shall I go? But because you alone have the words of eternal life. God's word does not return void, as I mentioned a moment ago. So the key, get immersed in the word of God. Keep the soil in good condition, fertile soil. And here in soil number 4, verse 15, we see the type of soil that my heart desired 38 years ago. And this is the type of soil that we should all desire within our hearts. Look at verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground, this is almost a relief, finally getting to the good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Notice they heard too. They heard the same sermon as the other three. They had heard the same word. But look at the difference in their lives. Why? Because they had good soil. The difference is that they had, it says here, noble and good hearts. They had prepared the soil. You know what I do? Even 38 years later, before I come to church or before I open God's word, I prepare the soil of my heart. I do. God, if there's anything in my heart that would hinder, if it's hard, if it's stony, if there's weeds, God, get it out. I want to hear from you. I want some good seed of your word planted deep within rich soil so I can bear much fruit. Soil, not soul. Soil, our soul. And so it says, good soil. And what do? They kept it and they bore fruit. Now, what is the fruit? I'm glad you asked. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit that comes when God's word penetrates good, rich soil and begins to bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape love, unconditional love. Isn't that amazing? You will have a love when you give your life to Jesus Christ and when his word penetrates your heart and when it bears much fruit in the good soil, you experience love like never before. And joy. And peace. Even right now, there's a lot of people flipping out with what's going on with this pandemic. But look at the church. Those that are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, those that have good soil, man, we got love. Why? Because now the people are out of the church. The church has been deployed. We're outside of the building. We're doing what God wants us to do in the first place, and it's to go out and love people to life. Don't beat them to death. There's hurting people everywhere. And, you know, people think because I'm a pastor, I just do nothing but talk about Jesus everywhere I go. I admit, I don't. But guess what? Because of what's going on in America and throughout the world, God has given me boldness like never before. to share wherever I go. I've been encouraging cashiers, been covering people with masks on, you name it. And I'm not boasting. I just sense an urgency like never before to love people so that they can see the joy of the Lord even in the midst of a trial. So they can see that we have peace that surpasses understanding, meaning people just can't understand. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I can't understand how I've got such peace in the midst of tribulation. I can tell you one of the reasons. I turned off the news 3 weeks ago, and what a difference that has made. And we have long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Would you think? Or would you say that these things are important today? And I got news for you. These things can only come from the person of the Holy Spirit. You can't manifest agape love. You can have happiness, but happiness is fleeting. He wants us to have joy. We can have joy in the midst of tribulation, whatever's going on. He gives us peace when things are falling to pieces. And long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What a blessing it is to be able to bear this kind of fruit because of the soil in our hearts that is full of the seed of the Word of God. Back to Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the Word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Praise the Lord. You see, they were receptive. They were teachable. They were obedient. Godly character. They bore fruit. It says patience. What does that mean? It means to be steadfast. It means to sustain and endure. We too need to be careful of cultivating the soil in our heart. That's the key. It's a continual process. You know that physically. You have to always, if you're planting a garden or if you're a farmer, you always have to watch the soil. You always have to prepare the soil. You always have to keep it rich. We see the soils before us here this morning, the wayside. Be careful, folks. You must allow God's word to penetrate your heart. Don't get hard-hearted. For believers, we always have to keep our hearts soft, tender, so that God's word will always penetrate our hearts. We have to prepare it. Before you come in the doors of the church, before you open your Bible, say, God, give me good, rich soil. Why? Because sometimes you can even go to church, and the enemy will distract. You maybe argued with your wife on the way into the parking lot or whatever it is, got in a fight with your neighbor, kids, whatever. And you know what? If you come in with the wrong type of heart, you're just going to be a human bird feeder, and the enemy is going to rip off the seed that was planted that day. How about the rocky soil? We're subject to that as believers too. Don't let your relationship with Jesus Christ, don't go to church just for emotional reasons. And then you walk away and forget what you heard. We walk by faith, folks. We don't walk by feeling. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, getting a good, solid, spiritual meal, the milk, the meat, the manna of God's Word. Thorns, be careful of the thorns. We're all tempted, aren't we? Every single one of us as a believer in this world is tempted. Worldly lusts, deceitfulness of riches, immorality. These can all choke out God's Word. It's amazing. That's why I turned off the news 3 weeks ago because, man, I would get up first thing in the morning, listen to this garbage over and over and over, most of it fake news, and it would ruin my day. And I wouldn't even pick up my Bible. I couldn't pick up my Bible. It was grieving my spirit. My heart was getting hard and rocky and thorny, whatever it might have been. But after turning off the bad news, I can now turn to the good news, and it's amazing what happens. Don't let the thorns come in. There's temptation out there. Be very, very careful. Why? Because it chokes out God's Word. Fourth soil, good soil. That's the all-important one. That's what this lesson is all about here this morning. Why good soil? God wants you to bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, all of those wonderful things, that's what He wants to manifest in your heart and in your life. But you've got to have good soil, and you've got to be open to receive God's Word. Good soil, so you can bear much fruit. So the lesson here is keep the hardness and the rocks and the thorns out so that you can flourish spiritually. And what a blessing it is for you and I in the times in which we live. You know what? Yeah, there's social distancing right now, but when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, when you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you will never have Savior distancing. You will never have spiritual distancing because He's with you every step of the way. How does that happen? The Bible clearly says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But it's up to you the type of soil you have, and it's up to you the type of relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. He loves you. He's extending a nail-scarred hand out to you, but it's up to you whether you receive it or not. He is a lamb. He's not a battering ram. He's not going to knock the door down. The Bible says that He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He says, if anyone will open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with them. It's up to you, as you have a free will for the type of soil that you have in your heart, it's also up to you whether or not you open that door and invite Him in. If you want to open that door and invite Him in, just pray this prayer with me, sincerely. Dear Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Please come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. I give my life to You. I pray, God, for good soil in my heart so that I can receive Your word, that I can bear much fruit for Your glory, not for mine. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption as I give my life to You. In Jesus' name I pray and I thank You. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Thank you for joining us this morning. And get into the Word. Keep that soil rich. God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed week.